England, was from England. He came, he was a dayan in England. He came to Israel. A wonderful human being. He was a rabbi in Petah Tikva, tremendous and joie de vivre. It was always a pleasure. He was always tosses, always bubbly individual. And when he came to Israel, he came to Bar Ilan and worked his way up in the ranks in the Talmud department. And he was one of the most dynamic lecturers I've ever heard. And he felt that it was a very important, he felt that the area of women in halacha had been neglected, there were no major texts, and he decided to organize texts. I had been working on the subject as a hobby for many years. I had been rabbi at Harvard Hill from 1969 to 1974. Some of you don't even born after that. Anybody who remembers that period, that was really very fiery period. A lot of the women's lib issues began coming to a head, and it started affecting the halachic community, who began struggling with the issues. I was an innocent. I was raised in a good Jewish, open, educated home, but nobody ever asked me, so why don't women count for me? They tell me forever. Right? And these are the type of questions that began stimulating my thought in working on the issue. And as an impressionable student and very sensitive and very caring, I started going into the issues and I began to discover there's a lot of room for creativity because the issues really were not tackled at all. And a lot of my own research over these many, many centuries, you will hear through the Shira. But when I met Agafi Gesselman, I really developed a wonderful simpatico with the gentleman. And he was a full-time scholar. And the first edition, my name is even mentioned. But anyway, don't look. Unfortunately, I don't remember how many years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, maybe it's even longer, he went down to Be'er Sheva to give a lecture in the Kollel in Be'er Sheva, Eilat. And he, as was his wont, he rented a bike, he had 2 hours, he rode a bicycle, and some 17-year-old had stolen a car from, he was a guy from Petah Tikva, kids stole a car and went for a joyride and killed him. And that was the end. He was busy translating it. Two volumes came out, he died in the middle of the third volume. And I have several manuscripts from him on that are unpublished, but that's neither here nor there. He was an outstanding human being. All right, now we're going to learn his book. Two chapters we're going to learn pretty straight. And then we're going to start jumping around. And my goal is as follows. I would like to deal, because I think there are a lot of very important issues that really bother me. And I'd like to deal with them. I'd like to get to the questions, which I've done a lot of research on, which deal with women in public prayer and women in minyan and hakafot and a lot of issues. But we're going to do it fundamentally. That's my ultimate goal. But we're going to go through it fundamentally, through the Talmud, through the Poskim, through the Tshuvah, and hopefully you will understand where the decisions come from. So let's now begin from the beginning. And we're going to start with page 23. Here's a summary on page 22, which he puts in the beginning. I really think we should read at the end. So let's start from the beginning without, because these are a summary and this is sort of a conclusion. Let's start from page 23. Begin with the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Kiddushin starts off as follows. And there's a great deal of material which we have to discuss. Kol mitzvot haben al ha'av. The Mishnah in this particular case, kol mitzvot haben al ha'av, which essentially means these deal with the mitzvot of a parent to a child. Okay. We're going to read a Tosefta a little bit later on. The language is confused, so let me define as we go along. Kol mitzvot haben al ha'av, all mitzvot which a parent has to do towards the child. So we'll see what they are in a second. Ha'anashim chayavim v'nashim tumah. Men are obligated, but the women, meaning their wives, and in some cases womankind, but as we go through the laws we'll see them. Nashim tumah, the women are free. The chol mitzvot ha'avalam. But all mitzvot with a child, the idea of the word av and ben are the generic term. They don't mean male or female. Kol mitzvot ha'av, all the mitzvot which a child has to do for the parent, okay, mitzvot ha'av, I mean, mitzvot have done for the, must, okay, mitzvot that have to be done to the parent, by the child, echad anashim v'echad nashim chayavim. Both men and women are obligated equal. Okay? I mean, when it comes to a parent's obligation to a child, just some things that the father has to do, the mother does not have to do. And let me put it this way, as we'll see, it means that the father can be thrown into prison for derelict duty if he doesn't do it. The court can force him to do it. The woman, she can do it if she wants to, but she can't be held culpable if she doesn't do it. The obligation, the familial obligation, falls on the father. Vice versa, all obligation which a child must do to the parents, men and women are obligated equally, which means if the daughter is not doing it, the court can bring, sue her. She can't say, but I'm a woman. Sorry, it's irrelevant. The chol mitzvot aseh, but we haven't told what you do what these are, we'll see that as we go along. The chol mitzvot aseh, shehazman grama. All positive commandments which are time determined, ha'anashim chayavim v'anashim tovot. Men are obligated, women are free. Let me explain to you what a mitzvah that says shazman gramas, you'll understand. And that is a mitzvah like sukkah. Okay? Sukkah, which has a particular time in the calendar which requires you to do it. Mitzvah that says shazman gramas. Let me just give you two definitions. Okay, another example is tefillin. Tefillin is not worn at night. Okay, or on Shabbat, tzitzis is not worn at night. We'll see the schedule later on. All the stuff which have time limited. Let me give you two definitions. Rashi says, shehazman gorem la shetavot, that the time causes it to come, which means what? There's a period we are not obligated. All of a sudden the time comes and says, you're obligated. The Rambam, however, is a slightly different definition. Mitzvot she'adam chayav la'osotam bizman mugbal u'kshelo yezeh hazman nitpatel chiyuvam. Mitzvot which a man does at a particular time, that's your particular, that's a limited time frame, and when this time is not there, Nitpatel chiyuv, the chiyuv goes away. Kigo, come on. Hasuka v'alula v'hashofar v'atfilin v'tzitzit shem chuyavim v'yom v'lo v'layla. V'chol mashu domo l'zeh. Let me tell you the difference between Rashi and the Rambam. I'll ask you a question which we'll deal with, which I want you to think about. And Rashi says it's a mitzvah which you're not obligated, and then you're obligated. The Rambam says it's a mitzvah in which you are obligated in a particular time frame. Okay? Particular time frame. And before and after, you're not obligated, right? Particular time frame. What's the difference? Okay? And now, just as a think question, yes, this week, Mila, circumcision. A circumcision on mitzvah, I say, shazman grama. Okay? Think about it. I don't ask for it. I said, think about it. Okay, we'll talk about it. Now, Shabbat? Chol Shabbat, yes. The Chol Shabbat is a mitzvah that says shazman grama. So what? Wonderful question. We'll talk. Yeah, mitzvah Shabbat, all mitzvah Shabbat, and mitzvah Aseh Shazman Grama. And yet, women are chayav. Okay. Every rule has an exception. Sometimes exceptions are more multiple, more common than. Okay. Okay. So there's a lot to talking about mitzvah aseh shezman gemal. We'll get into some of this lumdus next week. But let's get the principles then. Okay, v'chol mitzvat aseh shezman gemal. Can we go through back? Right? Hanashim chayavim v'nashim turot. All positive commandments are time determined. Men are obligated, women are free. Why? What's the rationale? What conditions? Mishra doesn't tell us anything. Very cryptic. The whole mitzvah asay shelo hazman gemar. All positive commandments which are not time determined. Echad hanoshim, echad nashim, echad anoshim, echad nashim chayavim. Both men and women are obligated. The whole mitzvah lotus, and all thou shalt not. Ben shelo hazman gemar, ben shelo hazman gemar. Echad anoshim, echad nashim chayavim. All thou shalt not. Women are obligated, makes a difference. Time determined, not time determined. Chutz, exception of three commandments, which are thou shalt not, which are not time determined. Women are free. And what are these three? Chutz mi bal tashrit. Okay, bal tashrit refers to not the prohibition against shaving with a razor on the corners of the face. Bal tashrit, bal tzanka. Bal takif, the prohibition of making a round, shaving off this side. The sideburns here, so the hair is perfectly round. That's about to keep. Ubalta tamei lemetim, the prohibition against male kohanim becoming tamei to dead bodies. That only applies to males, doesn't apply to females. Okay. Let's now continue with the Tosefta. Thank you. Eizahi mitzvat aseh shazman gemar. What are mitzvot? Okay, the Tosefta. Okay, now the Tosefta is again. This is typical. The Mishnah didn't define terms. The Mishnah gave us the rules. No definition. No explanation. No nothing. Now the Tosefta, which is here of Oshia's amplification on the Mishnah, that does explain this. Eizahi mitzvat aseh shazman gemar. Give me an for instance of a mitzvah aseh shazman gemar. Could go sukkah, lulav, tefillin. Okay. These are ketan mitzvot which are cyclical, come from time to time. Again, tefillin is not one a night, not one a Shabbat, and they have day, yes, night, no. Day, yes, when comes Shabbat, no. Eizahi mitzvat asay she'en hazman gemar. Give me a case of a mitzvah where it's not zman gemar. Could go avida, something that's lost, to return. Okay, what about if it's on Shabbos? Can't pick it up. Can't carry it. Can't do it.
Well, I didn't think the man was female.
What?
It's the same man was female.
I understand, but why is it considered a mitzvah to say she'en hazman gemar? I can't do it on Shabbos. What?
That's the exception. The rule is that it's a mitzvah on Shabbat. It's not a mitzvah.
But I don't put on tefillin on Shabbos, and that's good enough to make a mitzvah to say she'en hazman gemar. So why
not? Tefillin is a mitzvah to say she'en hazman
gemar. Why? Excuse me. But suppose it was something I just didn't do on Shabbat. Suppose. Yes, it would be a mitzvah to say Shazman. If it was something that did all it but didn't do on Shabbat, it would be a mitzvah to say Shazman.
It has nothing to do with time.
It has a period in which I'm obligated, a period in which I'm not obligated. If I have that element, obligated, not obligated. Obligated, not. If every Shabbos I were not obligated, you're right. But I'm saying, were it true that tefillin were only not obligated on Shabbos, we become a mitzvah to say shezman gemar.
It's not that you're not obligated, it's just that it's the Shabbat, so that's why you're not obligated.
Excellent. Right. That's right. It has nothing to do with Aveda. The prohibition is not something that's inherent to Aveda. But there's the law of Shabbos that I can't carry. Right? I can't go outside home. I can't. But suppose I found an object and I could carry this, an Erev. It's not something that's inherent. It has to be in order to make it a mitzvah that says, it has to be something inherent to that mitzvah. Not that there's a lion standing on my head. That's how the post can look at it. It's like, I want to put on tefillin, but it's my tefillin out of the lion's mouth. Does that mean that I'm not obligated? Of course I'm obligated. There's a lion there. That's how they view Shabbos. Shabbos is, there's a lion on top of me. The mitzvah says, do it, do it, do it. Shabbos says, I'm sorry. Right? That's your inherent said right. So Aveda, there's nothing inherent to Aveda. Yes, Aveda is a mitzvah. Stucca. Okay? money. You know, you can't get stuck on Shabbos. And that's not so. First of all, it's not right because you can get stuck without money. You can stuck it with food. You can stuck it with clothing. It doesn't have to be food. But even if it were just money, it's not something. What's the proof of it? If I put on tefillin at night, do I do my mitzvah with tefillin? But if I get stuck on Shabbos, I take the money and I give it to you. To the poor person, did I fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah? Yes, I violated Shabbos, but I did the mitzvah of tzedakah. It's nothing that's inherent to tzedakah. It may be a common mitzvah, blah, blah, blah. There are all sorts of technicalities, you know. Did my credit get lost because I did it? But as far as the mitzvah, did I do mitzvah tzedakah? Yes, I did mitzvah tzedakah. A bad boy, but you did mitzvah tzedakah. Or bad girl.
But can you pledge on Shabbat to give a certain amount of money?
Yes, yeah. Of course you can. Not of course, yes you can.
But that's also fulfilling the mitzvah, isn't it?
No,
right?
No. You made an oath, now you have to fulfill your oath.
Okay.
What? Tzitzit. Tzitzit Shabbat. Well, let's continue. Okay. Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Let's continue. Ein noi mitzvah tasei she'ein hazman grama, kegon avida, shiluch haken, sending away the bird, right? Ma'akeh, putting up a makkah around your house, you're obligated, I can't do it on Shabbos. How I construct the Shabbos, it's nisr binyan. And so that's, again, it's a Shabbos problem, it's not a makkah problem. Okay, v'tzitzit, and tzitzit, because the author of this Mishnah, okay, the author of this statement, hold that the tzitzit is what does not have, you were obligated in tzitzit all the time, and I too. Therefore what? Women are obligated to wear tzitzit. So according to this view, women are obligated to wear tzitzit. Rabbi Shimon poter the nashim tzitzit. Rabbi Shimon frees women from the obligation of tzitzit, and that is the consensus. Mipnei mitzvat asei shazman gama. Because the pasuk commandment was time determined, because we don't wear tzitzit at night. It's because the pasuk urita moto, to see the mitzvah is at night, naturally without a natural light, you can't You can't see the tzitzit. Therefore, that hints to us that the essence of tzitzit is a day obligation. So, again, now we're going to have to deal with the question of women wearing tzitzit, and it's an interesting problem, but not at this time. Ezehi mitzvat haben al ha'av. Now the Tosefta here means differently what it means in the Mishnah. I apologize, but there's a change of terminology. But from the examples you see, this here it means, what are the obligations a child must do for a parent? Okay, what are the obligations? First, ma'achil u'mashke. A child is obligated to feed the parent and give him to drink. Malbish u'mechaser, get them clothing and dress them. Machnis, the child is obligated. This is what the things that a child must do for the parent. The parent who can't get dressed, the child has an obligation to help the father get the parents get dressed. Machmotzi, to take them in and take them out. Well, because from the Talmud and Talmudic sources, this is what it means. You have to trust me on this. Machnis u'motzi. How do I know? Because Ellison says so in the Bible. It's the Talmud, the Gemara tradition. Machnis u'motzi. Help them in, help them out. Machitzlo panav yadav raglav. If they're not capable of washing their face, have to help them do that. Now the Gemara tradition, after discussing this, says, and that's not all. And it goes on and says how far you have to go. And the Gemara, I don't want to get here into the discussion of mitzvah kibud av va'em. The Gemara talks about intolerable situations, and the Gemara says if you get into an intolerable situation, you put him in an old age home and you go to a different city. Because you're going to violate kibud av va'em. You get into a situation that becomes, the Gemara says it is an impossible situation, and you have to violate kibud av va'em because then you should put the child and parent in an old age home and give it over to somebody else to take proper care for them, because you can't do it. that's a discussion in the Gemara about what are the limits. I mean, the modern situation of dealing with elderly parents starts off from that Gemara. The Gemara is very, very relevant how far you have to go. Okay? And it says, Echad ha'ish v'chat ha'isha, both a man and a woman are both obligated in honoring their parents. Ela sha'ish sipet b'yado lasa. The man can always fulfill these obligations. Va'isha ein sipet b'yado lasa. A woman does not always have the opportunity, the ability to do it. Because she has the dominion of her husband over her. Now, we're going to go into this in a second, and we'll talk about some of the laws, but this is the first inkling that a married woman can be freed from certain obligations because she has familial responsibilities. Okay, and I wouldn't take the word the dominion of her husband over her, because you'll see as you go through with the Rishonim, some take it very literally in a very male chauvinist sense. Other Rishonim understand it, meaning that she has the responsibilities of the home, formulated slightly differently, but that the halacha recognizes these obligations, these familial responsibilities, to marry them off. The Yeshem women, some say, and some say even have to teach a child how to swim. That's a view of Rabbi Akiva. He doesn't go to high school. You want to get, give your child a trade, and give him what it needs to get a trade. Of course, it doesn't necessarily mean the person talk about, does that mean the trade the child wants, or does it mean the trade the father wants? That's an interesting point of discussion. Suppose the father says, I want you to be a tenor, I'm willing to pay you the need to pay. Yes, I want to be a new researcher. Now that's not a trivial halachic problem, okay? Because it's my money, right? The father's money, the question, okay? That's not a trivial halachic problem. I'm not here to decide that issue. But, no, let's discuss. Let me just quickly talk about, what about a daughter? Okay? Because Mila is a boy, Pidyon HaBen is a boy. The Lambda taught to teach him Torah, okay? As we're going to see, the obligation to learn Torah in the sense of libur haTorah, to learn Torah, not to learn how to function as a Jew. The obligation to sit and learn Torah, to know all Torah, whether it's relevant or not, falls only on men, does not fall on women. Okay? That's the law as theoretically on the books. We'll spend a lot of time talking about women's obligation to Torah, teaching Torah, and everything that leads from it. However, so the law of the Torah, one could argue that applies only to a son and not to a daughter. So the first three things on the list pretty much fall in the male camp. So maybe everything falls in that. What about l'lamda unut? Teach him a trade. Okay, the Gemara says you need a trade because you have to chayim, you need to live. So, right. So, and there's some poskim say, actually, the Me'iri states that a father does not have an obligation to teach his daughter a trade. Why? Because either she's at home or she's married. I mean, it's obvious, says the Me'iri. Says, however, on the other hand, the Sefer HaMatna, which is an early Achron, and this view was reaffirmed by Harav Bar Shaul, the former chief rabbi of Rehovot, passed away in the 60s, if I'm not mistaken. Rabbi Shaul states, and actually the Rabbi Shaul, that nowadays a woman, for the same reason that you have to give a son a trade, you have to give a woman a trade, because it's a matter of living, it's a sustenance. You have to give your child the necessities. People get married much later, women and men and women are out of the house, and not being supported by their families for a very long time. And what happens to Rahman al-Sam? She gets divorced, or she's a widow, what's she going to do then? So, most authorities maintain that nowadays, certainly nowadays, that there's an obligation where it's not clear-cut, either in the house or with your husband, that you have to teach your daughter a trade. Ulasio Isha, there, the Gemara clearly states that the obligation is both on the father for his son and his daughters. The Gemara says, all right. And for my son, it's not so difficult, he says. I'll make a fine shenech and I'll marry him off. My daughter, well, get my daughter married, the Morris says she buy good clothing and good jewelry, and you're a Buffon haircut. You do what's necessary. The Morris says it. The Morris says, I do whatever necessary to make my daughter beautiful and appealing. That's an obligation on the father as well. And teaching to swim, clearly teaching to swim, it applies to a husband, it applies to a son and a daughter alike. According to most poskim, and I'll mention it next year, you'll see that according to most poskim, Chinuch, Kidyuna Ben, and Torah are absolute obligations. If a father doesn't do it, the court forces it. To teach the child a trade, to marry off the child, and to teach him to swim are more in the category of Eitza Tova, and not absolute obligations. And you will see in discussions a little bit later on that somehow these are not mentioned. They're not mentioned in Rishami, and they're mentioned in Shulchan Aruch as obligations. These seem to be more in the category of, suppose if the father doesn't find a shidduch for his daughter, you can force him. By the way, it's not so, if it's an absolute obligation, yes. I say, you'll do something. The court can do, say, do something. The court can't do it, neither for a son nor the daughter, and he doesn't want to teach him a trade.
But the obligation is not to find the
shidduch,
the obligation is to put her in such a position that she'll do the best.
Yeah, but okay, that's
not
enough. Okay. The Gemara says that's what a parent should do. It's not an obligation. Again, the halacha is very clear what it means when it says obligation. It means I can force you to do it. These are very important legal obligations. The Torah knows how to give obligations. The Torah knows how to force you to do your obligation. The court can do such things. These are not, if a child refuses to circumcise the child, the court can do it, can do certain things. The others seem to be more in the category of more in the category of an Eitza Tova of advice to the child. Okay. Forgive me if I'm going to steal 5 more minutes. I want to deal with one more question before we go. And then, just pass this out. And I appreciate again if you return these to me because we're going to use them again. Good shit. Is there enough there? Let me ask you a question. Women are free from positive commandments which are time determined. All the examples that we've seen are what are examples? Sukkah, lulav, shofar, tefillin, tzitzit. What about rabbinic obligations? What about positive commandments which are time determined, which are rabbinic? Now, unfortunately, every example I'll give you, you'll say, but women are obligated. Chanukah, positive commandments, women are obligated. Abakosa, women are obligated. Right? We're obligated. It's kind of hard. Okay, let me give you an example. And you'll see that each exception has the reason for an exception. But let's deal with that let's just think sort of a gestalt approach to the problem. A gedanken. Let's think about it. Has the commandment of the which were rabbinic in origin, should the same rules apply? Yes, why?
The principle is there.
That is, if the Torah saw fit, whatever the reason, and next week we'll discuss the possible rationales, and then we'll attack all the possible rationales. But some will say apologetics, some don't make sense, and we'll talk about it. But whatever the rationale is, if the Torah saw fit, then maybe the rabbi should have followed suit. And what's the other possibility?
Not
why? Because you're playing in the rabbi's ballpark. It's a different ballpark than the Torah's ballpark. Then they have different rules. They have different, they can set the bases anywhere they want to. They don't have to be 90 feet apart. They can be, outfield can be 10,000 miles. It doesn't have to be 400 feet. You can set up talking American lingo. I apologize to you. You play by different rules if you in Chazal's book, or why would you assume? This turns out to be a machloket between Rashi and Tosfos. Let's now see the page that I gave out. It's a good question. Is mikvah among Grama or not?
No.
What? Can mikvah be done any time during the year?
Yeah.
Every day is suitable for mikvah?
Not every day. Not every hour. At certain times, during daylight, on a regular basis,
That is, for a certain woman she can't do it, but after that she can do it anytime she wants to. You're asking a good question. We're going to talk about these type of problems. This is an excellent question. And I'll ask you, Svirata Omer. Let him insert a say Shazman Grama, not insert a say Shazman. I'll do the Omer. Why do you say Shazman Grama? Well, I can argue it's not Shazman Grama because I can argue that it depends on the wheat. It just so happens the wheat only grows during that period. But if it grows during the summer, or during the winter, it's based on the wheat, when the wheat grows.
No, it's based on the command of the
food. Could we discuss this next week? I'd be happy to deal with these problems next week. Let me get back to this question, theoretically, about rabbinic commandments. Let's read the Mishnah. Nashim ba'vadim uktanim, and we'll come back and talk about why they're all grouped together. Nashim avadim uktanim p'turim mikriyat shema u'minat tefillin. They're freed from kriyat shema. Why? Because kriyat shema is a positive command which is not determined only when? During what? Why is kriyat shema mitzvah zeh shazman grama? Because it's only up until 3 hours into the day. After that, there's no more mitzvah. Then it starts again at night. We'll talk about mitzvah that start, stop, start again. We'll talk about this stuff. Tefillin, because tefillin we see is only during the day, not at night. The chayavim b'tefillah, but they're obligated in davening. We'll talk about what this means. Umim mezuzah, or birkat hamazon. Mezuzah because it's not time to determine, and birkat hamazon because you can eat any time, day or night. You can't eat on Yom Kippur. What? Aryeh rav mitzvah, you can eat on Yom Kippur. There's this lion who's sitting on top of you. That's only inherent to eating. Okay, birkat hamazon. So let's get down. Skip down. See, it says uminat tefillin. Okay. Skip down the line after that. In the middle of that line, the chayavim b'tefillah. See that? The chayavim b'tefillah. Dilach meinu, because a request for mercy. Davening is a request for mercy. Mahu detema, I would have said, therefore what? That's why the rabbis obligated women, because women need mercy just like men need mercy. Right? Mahu detema, I would have thought, holenu chdiva erva voker v'tzarayim. Because the Daniel says that I prayed, I cried out to Hashem at night and in the morning and in the afternoon. Kim mitzvah to say shazman grama, then it's like a mitzvah command which is time determined, because after all davening is shachris min chamariv. That's what the Gemara is actually saying, and it's based, you see, Daniel already mentions it, shachrit min chamariv. So there are different time periods for the praying. So kim mitzvah to say shazman grama, then so therefore I would think it's a mitzvah to say shazman grama. If it's like that, and therefore women should be free. Mashmal, therefore, he teaches me that women are obligated. They're obligated. Why? Because it's a request for mercy. And women need mercy. Now, let's now see how we interpret this Gemara. Look at Rashi. You see, you have Rashi underlined there on the left hand side? Okay. Now, it's not the second. Look at the second underline. The second underline. Tfila derachmeninu. Velo goras. Pshita. Pshita means it's obvious. The halav doraiti, because it's not biblical. Okay, the chayavim, Rashi in his text of the Gemara, okay, had this from. Women are obligated in tefillah. The Gemara says, pshita. Of course they're obligated in tefillah. No, we don't. The text of the Gemara doesn't, but Rashi had it saying pshita, and Rashi says, take it out. You know why you don't have in your Gemara? Because Rashi said, take it out. And the printers after Rashi took it out. Now, so and Rabbeinu Tam put a cherem on these people. He says, we don't know what was before. We're going to lose everything that was before Rashi. We don't know. Because you see, again, the Tosfos is going to disagree with Rashi. So Rashi said, what do you mean, it's obvious? Rashi says, obvious, non-obvious, mitzvah station, it's not relevant here. It's rabbinic. The rabbis can make any rules they want to. What do you need? Look at Tosfos. Look at the Tosfos. The tefillah. So Rashi says, pshita. So he says that was the text that Tosfos had for them. Okay. The Gemara says pshita. Obviously, of course, the Gemara says. Let me explain to you how Tosfos sees the Gemara. Well, that's essentially from Rashi. The Gemara says, "Rumor obligated in prayer." Rashi says, "Of course, rumor obligated in prayer." Why? It's of course they're obligated in prayer. Why? Because until now the Gemara does things that prayer, you can pray anytime you want to. So Gemara says, no, because there's a time-determined element here. Because it's called Shabbos Nechamarev, Shabbos Nechamarev. Exactly. So it's not so pushers. So you might think the woman would be free. So come tell me, no, the women are obligated. Why are they obligated? Because they request for mercy, so it's an exception. So the very language, pshita, obviously shows time-determined, not time-determined, is a relevant issue. Rashi, look at the Tosfos, and the fourth line. The Rashi loka mislo. Rashi doesn't like this word, pshita, obvious. Sharei tefillah de rabboni. Umam mitzvah aseh sheikha, but what is this kind of mitzvah aseh sheikha as man grama? Relevant here, that the Gemara should think, that since women, you can daven any time, you can pray to Hashem any time you want to, that therefore women should be obligated. Therefore the Gemara had to say, it's not the law of the Israel. Okay? So he's saying, Rashi says, whether it's time determined or not time determined is irrelevant here. The rabbis can make any rules they want to. Tosu says, no. That's it, just read the continue to Tosu. For me, come, makom yesh liyashem, and it's nevertheless we can explain, we can understand this. For the Hallel, the Rabbanan, the recitation of Hallel on Chag and Rosh Chodesh, which is what? A mitzvah taseh shezman grama. Yet it's the Rabbanan, the Nashim Tumot Me'adam. And women are freed from this reason, even though it's rabbinic. The mitzvah taseh shezman grama, because it's a Pascha Me'amish time to turn. And how do I know women are freed? In the Sukkah, the Gemara in Sukkah says, Misha ya Eved v'Isha. And Eved, we'll talk about this in a second, there's a fundamental difference that we'll talk about. I have a lot of time talking about it. A non-Jewish slave to a Jew who's done partial conversion has obligations like a woman, okay? But he's obligated also in all thou shalt not, and thou shalt which are not time to determine, and free from all positive commandments, just like it says a woman. So a non-Jewish slave to a Jew, and a woman, and a minor, they should read Hallel, Makinoto, and they read it for an adult male who doesn't know how to read Hebrew. So they're reading it out loud for him. Says the last line here, Ona Achrayim, he has to say with them word for word, Mashahem Amrim. It's not good enough that somebody else should read it and be listening. Jennifer, for instance, husband comes home, can make kiddush for his wife. Actually, wife comes home, she makes kiddush for husband. We'll talk about this too. Because they're obligated equally. People of equal obligation can be motzi each other, can say one for the other. Because if I'm obligated equally with you, then I can be motzi, I can say for you. We'll talk about how this comes about. It's called avevu, responsibility. However, if I'm not obligated, I can't be motzi you. So therefore, how does a woman, so it says, see, the woman can't read for the male. What does the male have to do? He has to say the words himself. She says, Hallelujah. He says, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's got to say it himself. She can't read it for him. Why? Because she's not obligated. The Ein HaShomea Patum Kiyatan Kivan Shem Tovim, says Tosfos. The last line. Because the Shomea can't fulfill his obligation because they're Patum. Proof, says Tosfos, that the women are free from Hallel. Why are they free from Hallel? Because it's a mitzvah say shazma grama, even though it's rabbinic. The consensus of poskim is like Tosfos, that the rules of mitzvah say shazma grama apply both to biblical and to rabbinic commandments. And the general principle followed here, which is a general principle almost in all of Torah. Kol d'takun rabbanan ke'ein d'oraita takun. All that which the rabbis set up, they set up like the Torah institution, like the Torah rules. It's true that when the rabbis set up things, set up certain obligations, they had a right to do as they like. But as a general rule, they followed the Torah's principles. We will find that there are a lot of exceptions when the rabbis thought that this is a particular mitzvah, even though women should have been freed, they want them obligated. But in each case, then, they have to justify the reason. If there's no given reason, women are free, unless there's a general. Therefore, Hanukkah, Sha'afina Yobot HaMes, there's a special relatedness of women to this particular miracle, right? They're involved. That's the same reason given for Megillah and the Hanukkah and Avakosa. There's a special rationale, which you mean, Tefillah, Rachamim, there's a request for mercy. Women need mercy just like men need mercy. Therefore, they're obligated to pray. But I needed a justification. I needed a rationale. That's not obvious. I needed to explain it. So therefore, to summarize, okay, both biblical and rabbinic obligation, women are obligated in all thou shalt nots and thou shalt's, that's what they say, but they're free from past commandments, which are time determined. We'll go see some exceptions next week. We'll also have to discuss what the rationale is. Because the rationale is a hot potato. And we'll see next week we'll be reading some traditional answers. We'll also be reading from some Saul Berman and some Rav Soloveitchik and some Rav Yeshiva Soloveitchik. They're obligated, yes, they're obligated in Korbanot, but they're not obligated in certain parts of Korbanot. Okay, I'd appreciate if people gave me the sheets back, and we'll distribute them next week. Or I'll hope that the books by this week, some of the books.
Thank you.